Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stick around. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, without any type of manipulation. We don't play games. We're not trying to hustle you for money. We're not trying to get you to join up, give it up, fess it up, nothing like that. We're just trying to get you to listen up, listen to the information. My job is to verify and identify the plan of God for you, for your family, for your nation. Your job is to orient and adjust should you desire to do so, but that's up to you. But I can promise you this, I'll be accurate. I won't mislead you. I won't lead you into some kind of goofy stuff. I will show you what the Bible says and let you figure it out on your own. But it's my prayer that you are the person I'm looking for. This show, I'm always on the search. I'm searching for people that are hungry to learn God's Word. That's why we do this show. Those sort of people can become what I call part of the pivot that can deliver this nation from the coming disaster. A pivot potential, a pivot member, a mature believer that God can count on, like Gideon. Gideon was a pivot person, and God counted on him to deliver Israel from the Midianite army. And that's what God is looking for, a few good men and women that love him, that love his word, that want to grow to spiritual maturity and glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. Unfortunately, we live in a nation that seems to be rejecting the plan of God today. And that's what we've been talking about, the spiritual climate change in America in the year 2019. What's going on? Well, let's pick up where we left off last week and see if we can dig into this a little bit, because the key word is wisdom. No one wants wisdom. No one wants understanding. No one wants knowledge. People are not willing to get it. They just seem to want to go by their own wisdom and their own knowledge. You know, they think they know all the answers. And as we started off in this verse, in this study, we quoted a verse, and I'll see if I can go back to it real quick for you here. We quoted a verse that was very, very instrumental. It said, "In the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are." America is showing the world how stupid we are. Why are we stupid? Because everything that used to be evil is now accepted as good, and everything that used to be good is now being touted as evil. And we have begun to formulate plans for a successful nation based on the wisdom of fools. And we are in trouble because we've neglected the divine establishment principles that made this country what it is, freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism being the four critical components of the divine institutions. So the Bible warns us, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's human viewpoint. Proverbs 3:8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What's wrong with looking to the Bible for answers? What is it that is so offensive that people don't want to read the Bible? They don't want the Ten Commandments in a school. They don't want the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. What's wrong with that? Why is that so offensive? Do people not realize that Satan has done a tremendous job of dividing this country? And he's used people that have organizations like Freedom From Religious Foundation, that as soon as anyone in leadership begins to offer a prayer or have a Bible on their desk, they get slapped with a letter of threat of a lawsuit. It's pitiful. And that's where we stand today. Wise in our own eyes, human viewpoint thinking. Fear the Lord, the Bible says. Respect him, in other words. And depart from evil, that's Satan's cosmic system. You go to the right, you go to the left. You go to the right, that's God's wisdom. You go to the left, that's the satanic cosmic system. Satan is a wonderful counterfeiter. He counterfeits God's plan. He can't offer you what God does, but he can offer you something else. God offers you eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Satan offers you eternal life, maybe through organized religion, if you're good enough. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. Paul picked up this same concept in Ephesians 5:17 and said, "Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish." Aphron, the Greek word. but understand what the will of the Lord is. How can you understand it if you don't know it? And how can you know it if you don't learn it? And how can you learn it if you don't hear it? And that's what Satan has been successful at doing, shutting off the teaching of the Word of God in our schools, in our public arena, even in a football game. Somebody's offended if they have a prayer. It's crazy. And so it's not a lack of knowledge, but the inability to use that knowledge wisely that's going on. People know about God. They can look around, and Romans tells you that. You can look into the stars and realize somebody made that. You didn't make it. Somebody else made it. But then you reject that knowledge, and you don't use it wisely. And you don't want to know where the information comes from, what the knowledge is. And somebody says, well, let's try reading the Bible. And then you reject that. You are wrong. You are making a critical mistake. That word fool or moron or moros denotes stupidity. But also it can denote ignorance and willful rebellion against God and His will. And we quoted Romans 1:18 through 32 and ask you to read that for yourself. Where it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Not interested in anything God has to say. They're interested in going down the my way highway. They're interested in somebody's human viewpoint thinking rather than the Scriptures. Now, God has given you the opportunity to understand His wisdom. He's recorded it for you in the Bible, in the Scriptures. It's called the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:5, and that's what the disciples were tasked with doing, recording the thoughts of Christ, the words of Christ, the deals with Christ, what He did, and then so it's all there for us if we take the opportunity to learn it, if we take the opportunity to understand it. He's even equipped men with the gift of pastor-teacher who can go into the Scriptures, into the original languages of the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, and explain to you what these words mean that you don't understand. Whithersoeverest thou goest. That's the thundering diction of the King James. Whithersoeverest thou goest. I mean, that's not how it was written. People get violent and say, the King James Bible was good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me. Well, I'm sorry. The King James Bible was written way after the life of Paul. So the Scripture, as in the original languages, as close as we have to the canon of Scripture, the original languages that we have and we know, you got to have someone that can explain the eisegetics of these words, what they mean, such as love, love, love. You know, we got to love each other, but there are four words for love in the Greek New Testament. It's just constantly, you got to have someone that understands it. A well-qualified pastor is what all of us have to have. I have one. You must have one. There's not a morning goes by, rarely, that I don't get up and listen to my pastors. I put in a DVD and study his teachings as he teaches in his church each week. And I'm watching. I'm learning. I'm growing. And there never is a time when you quit growing. So God gives us that opportunity to grow. And we learn to respect the Lord, and that's the beginning of all knowledge right there. But listen to the next part of Proverbs 1:7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why will the America we know not survive if it continues on the current path? Because we are being led by fools. If we continue on the current path, not the administration, I'm not talking about the president, I'm talking about the House, the Senate, the Congress, the House of Representatives, most of our leaders reject even the notion that God's wisdom is found in Christ. They reject that concept completely. Why will we not survive if we continue on the current path? Because most of our leaders reject the idea of God's wisdom concerning those four divine institutions that I talked about, such as marriage, between a man and a woman, no one else. Marriage as an institution of God has given away today to humanism and diversity. And the concept of the family has fallen apart today, and thus no authority structure. And if there's no authority, then who a kid raises, you know, he's just no discipline. You know, I've said before, the biggest child abuse is to raise a child, send him out into the devil's world and not arm him with divine viewpoint, not give him a chance, not let him know what the Bible says, not give him the opportunity to choose at least which road he wants to follow. Because if he doesn't know his choices, he's going to go the wrong way. So most Americans are going to surrender their freedom for security, and that's what we're looking at today. So the words of Solomon ring true. How long will you that are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mocking God because fools hate knowledge? So what can we do about the future? Well, in Ecclesiastes 9, 14, and 15, my pastor has been teaching a great series on this. One poor man with wisdom delivered a city. Just one. One poor man with wisdom. You can be that person with wisdom that can deliver your city, your nation, your family, your home. But you have to do this. Number one, you can't buy it. And you cannot inherit wisdom. You must acquire it for yourself before you can have any sort of impact. You must acquire wisdom. And what is wisdom? It's simply you acquiring the mind of Christ or fulfilling Romans 12:3. Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think. But think in terms of sanity as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. Wisdom is you rejecting the control of arrogance in your life. Wisdom is you saying no to self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. You saying no to these things. And you saying yes to what the Word of God has to say. Wisdom is simply you acquiring the mind of Christ. And all wisdom comes from knowledge. All wisdom comes from knowledge and produces insight and discernment. Do you hear me? Wisdom comes from knowledge and produces insight and discernment. Insight and discernment. Discernment gives you the ability to see what other people don't see. Wisdom is a byproduct of your personal love for God, because the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not hard, they're not grievous. So, in 1 John 5:3, if you love me, you'll obey me, and my mandates are not hard. So here's a suggestion. Do you want to really live life? Psalm 34:12 through 16 tells you how. If you want to really live a long and happy life, here it is, then make sure you don't speak evil words or use deceptive speech. Turn away from evil and do what is right. Strive for peace and promote peace. And I go on to quote now, the Lord pays attention to the godly and hears their cry for help, but the Lord opposes the evildoer and wipes out all memory of them from the earth. Did you get that? Psalm 34:12 through 16. I'm going to read it one more time. Do you want to really live? Would you like to live a long, happy life? Really live? Long, happy life? Then make sure you don't speak evil words or use deceptive speech. Turn away from evil. Deceptive speech, evil words, a public lie. That goes on so much today in politics, you can't believe it. If you yell it loud enough, long enough, and often enough, people believe it. It's unbelievable, the strife, the contention, the division that's in this country today. So you want to live a long, happy life? Quit running people down. Quit lying about other people. Turn away from evil. Do what's right. Strive for peace and promote it. And the second part of that verse says the Lord is paying attention to the godly, and He hears their cry for help. This means your prayer will not go unanswered. As you pray for our nation, as you pray for our president, as you pray for your family, God hears your prayer. In 2 Peter 3:15, Peter tells us we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 2:1 through 6, listen carefully. My son, Solomon says, if you will hear my words, and if you will treasure my mandates, hear the word if you will hear my words and if you will treasure my mandates within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, and you will cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom as you would silver and search for her as you would a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. Those are the words of Solomon written hundreds of years ago. So what happened to your wisdom? Where did your wisdom go? Has it given you any insight to God's will for your life or the direction that God wants you to go in your life when dealing with other people? Or do you fail people testing because you have no wisdom? You never learned how to use impersonal love. The problem-solving device, number 8, you never learned how to use impersonal love. Has it given you insight, your wisdom? Did you get distracted or discouraged from growing spiritually? Or just plain tired of going to church and tired of going to Bible study? You got other things going on that are more important, don't you? Your children, and you got to go to workout class, and you got to go to work, and by the time it's time to come around at night, you're too tired, in the morning you're too tired, and so you've allowed Satan to divide and conquer you through the failure of your own spiritual life. Your family's divided, your thoughts are divided, and you're in deep trouble. And that's exactly what's going on in this nation. And sometimes Satan divides and conquers us through the failure of people that we admire. We see them fail, like Peter failed the Lord, and the disciples saw it, and they all got a little upset, and Peter ran. People said, no, I don't know him. I've never heard of him. Who? I don't know what you're talking about. Even when the Lord warned him that he was going to do that. Did you, not Peter, did you fail to use wisdom of impersonal love and let the justice of God handle the details in a people test that you faced? You know, here's the principle. How could you ever be that one wise man that delivers a nation? How could you ever have an invisible historical impact in a nation that's failing like America if you can't control your own sin nature? I mean, there have been thousands of hours of the Word of God taught flowing from pulpits. Where were you when the pastors were watering that flock? The truth is this. Without an active, current spiritual life, you're not helping anyone, not even yourself. Look, even the disciples got distracted from time to time. They argued over who were the greatest and who did Jesus love the most, but did he really come back to life? And they got tired of waiting for him in Galilee, so they went fishing. And they'd been sent there to fish for men, not for fish. Even pastors get distracted, especially when they think they're smarter and wiser than those who mentored them. So remember the words of Paul to young Pastor Timothy. This is critical. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Blind arrogance can cause you to see things that are not there. I'm going to say it again. Blind arrogance can cause you to see things that are not there. This is true for pastors. A wise pastor produces a wise congregation that imparts blessing by association to a dying nation. A wise pastor produces a wise congregation that imparts blessing by association to a dying nation. The invisible impact you could have as a mature believer on this nation is incredible. Invisible impact of you, invisible God, invisible assets, invisible power, that equals invisible heroes, which you must be if we're going to leave our children or our grandchildren a future with any opportunity. Because the Bible says you can have a personal impact in history by being a blessing by association to others. Remember what David said? Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Anybody in his periphery was blessed, blessing by association. You can have a historical impact. That means that your life can be a blessing to the client nation, USA, good old America. Your spiritual life is the key here. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the future of this country. You can have an international impact by blessing by association to non-client nations by means of missionary activity when we support, pay for, fund missionaries that go to nations that don't necessarily worship God. You can have an angelic impact by being a witness for God in the appeal trial of Satan, and you could have a heritage impact by being a blessing by association to your loved ones even after you're dead. That's true. So, with available assets provided by God's grace, there's only one reason why we fail, and that's because we have negative volition. Negative volition. We're not interested, we're not hungry, we're distracted, we're divided, and we're failing. This client nation to God is blessed by a pivot of mature believers whose invisible historical impact is the key to the function of the American and the key to the perpetuation of this nation. And so again, as you go, as your life goes, and as any believer in any generation, so goes the history of that nation. So how goes your spiritual life? You know, this is where we mess up. The problem is not sin in America. You know, point your finger and say, oh, those people and those people, and look what they're doing, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. The problem is not sin in America. The problem is distracted Christians, those who cannot and do not maintain their momentum. You remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear their prayer and heal their land. You're the solution. You. It's not the sin, it's you. It's because you have no desire to gain wisdom. You have no desire to get understanding. You just want to be a casual Christian and play church. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of this nation. Where are you? Are you hungry for word? Are you hungry to grow? Are you hungry to become a mature believer? Are you hungry to be that one man that God can count on? Because inconsistent spiritual growth leads to an inconsistent spiritual life. And I can tell you the first thing that goes in your life is failing to study the Word of God, failing to show up for church. The second thing is the rate of forgetting gets greater than the rate of learning. And the next thing is you forget to confess your sins. You forget to rebound. And then you lose all of your momentum, and you replace your spiritual momentum with your hobby, with your children, or chasing the details of life. Has that happened to you? Have you lost your spiritual momentum? Maintaining spiritual momentum is never easy, I promise you. And there are some mandates in Scripture if you hope to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life, such as 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow is the Greek word oxano, and it is an imperative mood verb. It's a present tense, which means there never is a time you're not to grow. As long as you're here, as long as you're occupying space, as long as you're breathing air, you are to grow spiritually. This imperative verb, oxano, is a mandate, not merely a suggestion. So there's never a day in your life that you can skip growing spiritually. This mandate is for you to accumulate knowledge, grow in the grace and knowledge. The mandate is to accumulate knowledge and also to understand grace. It's not hard to see who understands grace when people testing comes along. I mean, you can be around someone a short period of time and find out if they know how to grace people out, if they know how to give people grace, the same kind of grace God gave them. And knowledge, like the knowledge of Matthew 7, keep your mouth shut, don't judge other people, keep your nose out of other people's business, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. That comes before the act of treating people in grace or letting God handle the details. So if you don't have the knowledge of Matthew 7, 1 through 5, you don't have the positive volition to obey it, then you're a problem. You cannot have a historical impact if you can't have a grace impact, especially on your own family and your own friends and your own local church. So it requires impersonal love and grace extended, just as God gave the same kind of grace to you. I mean, God didn't get his feelings hurt when you ignored his will for your life, did he? But you get your feelings hurt when another believer doesn't do what you want him to do. If you get your feelings hurt by another believer, that's a tough test to pass if you don't use the grace asset of impersonal love. Never, and I repeat this, never try to defend yourself. Even if the fact is untrue, don't try to justify yourself. Let the Supreme Court of Heaven handle it. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, avoid, another imperative mood verb, avoid profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness and spread like cancer. That means don't get into territory you don't belong, because it will divide and conquer your family, your church, your spiritual life. So just as we can only fall to our own internal self, so a local church, maybe like where you go, can only be destroyed from within by people that get into idle babbling. In 2 Timothy 2:15, another mandate says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that word study is another imperative mood verb called spoudazo. Spoudazo is the Greek word. It means to make haste or to exert yourself, to do diligence. To make haste to do what? Show yourself approved. Dokimas, the Greek word, dokimas, approved. You know, in the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today, no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated with liquid, poured into molds, and allowed to cool. And when the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course, many people shaved them very close. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of whittling down the coins that were in circulation. But some money changers were men of integrity who would not accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine, full-weight money into circulation. These men were called the dokimas, and this word is used here for Christians, as he is to be seen by the world, a dokimas. And that's quoting Donald Gray Barnhouse in his book on Romans, God's Glory, page 18. So does your spiritual life meet God's approval? Are you a dokimas? Are you rightly dividing the word of truth? Orthotomeo, when we get our word orthodontics, are you cutting straight? Are you getting it straight? Rightly dividing the scriptures? It's your job to do that. Because if you can't, then there's trouble on the horizon. Your job is to pass on what you learn, and if you're not learning it, how can you pass it on? How can you divide it rightly if you don't have someone to teach it to you correctly? That's why the need for a local pastor that understands the languages and can teach the Word of God correctly.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. Flotline, F-L-O-T, forward line of troops. It's all about learning the unique 10 problem-solving devices taught in the Bible so you can establish a main line of resistance in your soul. By doing that, by using those unique problem-solving devices, it's possible you can stop the outside source of adversity before it ever becomes the inside source of stress. So building a flotline is a wonderful way to live. It relieves all the pressure in your life. No worry, no fear, no bitterness, no animosity. Actually, it's accumulating the mind of Christ, thinking like our Lord Jesus Christ thought. He had a flotline in his soul, although he never needed to confess any sin like we do. That's our first problem-solving device. Rebound, problem-solving device number one. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So building a flotline is what this show is about. You know, God gave you two ends. I tell you that every week. Two ends. One end to sit with, one end to think with. And success in your life is going to depend on which one you use. Remember, bad decisions limit future options. And if you make enough bad decisions, you're not going to have any options left. And obviously, the worst decision anyone could make in their entire life is to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. You leave God no choice when you do that because you rejected the love of God. Remember where it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? When you reject the gift that God gives you of his Son, you leave the justice of God no choice but to judge you. And that will occur at the great white throne of judgment, which you don't want to be there. You don't even want to have any part with that. So the Bible says, he that believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already. You know, living in the devil's world, living in the presence of this great country of ours, there's a lot of stuff going on. There is, as a pastor friend of mine says, a spiritual climate change, a shift. And it's happening. And we're going to talk about that for the next few shows. And by the way, you will be able to access these through Spotify, the website where we post a podcast of these shows. And hopefully soon we'll be on the Apple Podcast as well. So you can get to these by using your internet or your cell phone, and you can always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, and you can access the radio shows there and listen to them. Or you can contact us through the website, and we'll send you MP3s of the shows. So let's talk about the spiritual climate change in the great old United States of America. The frantic search for happiness that we see today in this country kind of leaves a cluttered trail of destruction and despair. It's no wonder that suicide is the last option. I think I read the other day that on the average there are 123 suicides committed every day. Why do people do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because everything appears empty. What's the use of going on, they may say. Many young people, teenagers, are used up at an early age and they wind up ending it all because they see no future, no hope. I mean, they spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. And they do all of that to deaden the pain of an empty life. I think hopelessness is a national disease. And there's so many people that are hopeless today. In the National Post, we read headlines suggest we become consumed by loneliness. That is a word I want you to key in on. Loneliness and hopelessness. Loneliness, a new generation, the National Post says, of Eleanor Rigby's. Half a century after the Beatles sang it. Why are 30-year-olds lonely? That's a question I want to ask you. Why are they facing a loneliness epidemic in their life? I've read where loneliness is a human catastrophe, and a recent Angus Reid Institute survey found that half of Canadians often feel alone. And in the U.S., the number of Americans who feel they have no one with whom they can speak to has tripled. 75% of Americans, I read, claim they are lonely. There's an American poet named Sylvia Plath, a novelist, and she wrote in her journal 4 decades ago, God, but life is lonely. Despite all the opiates, despite the shrill, tinsel gaiety of the parties with no purpose, despite the false grinning faces we all wear, people across the West are reporting higher levels of loneliness, persistent loneliness, more than ever before. But don't worry about it. You know, really, come on. I mean, they're going to soon get a chill pill for loneliness. Did you know that? University of Chicago scientists think that the hormone they've come up with called Pregnenolone, might reduce lonely people's fear of connecting and their risk of serious health problems. So for the past year and a half, the study is scheduled to end this June, by the way. That was 96. Lonely but otherwise healthy people were receiving 400 milligrams or oral doses of pregnenolone, a hormone primarily produced by the adrenal gland, and it's been associated with memory enhancement but also stress reduction. That's the world's system of solving the lonely problem. If the research ultimately leads to a pharmacological treatment for loneliness, it would be a timely breakthrough, many doctors say. So, one particular person that I read, and this is very interesting, said her name was Robbie Ludwig. She's a psychotherapist. And she said, as a society, we have not been adapted helping young men manage their feelings of hopelessness and emasculation. We need to educate our youth, that's what she says. And help them identify and deal with their uncomfortable emotions. We must teach them that feeling vulnerable or weak doesn't make them failures. So listen to this brilliant idea she comes up with. There needs to be a way to provide emotional management to all young boys, especially the troubled ones. It's extremely important to help them identify and recognize their anger as it arises. We must help these young men, she says, handle feelings of weakness and desperate in more effective and non-destructive ways. We must ensure they are not fueled by hateful rhetoric or xenophobia. That's the dislike or prejudice of people from other countries. We also need to expand what it means to be a man, so the disenfranchised don't choose killers as their idols. This is all human viewpoint thinking. What we've done is we kicked the Word of God out of our homes. We've kicked the Word of God out of our schools. We've kicked the Word of God out of our public agenda. And young people today are victims to cosmic thinking. They have no choice. They don't even see the difference. Their parents don't give them any scripture to give them any background, to give them a choice in life. And they grow up falling sucker and victims to the cosmic system. What is a man? She wants to know, what is a man? I'll tell you what a man is. A man has momentum in his life. Jesus Christ our Lord said, happiness, 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 that's opposed to loneliness. Happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it. Hearing and keeping the word of God on a consistent basis relieves loneliness for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. A man has momentum in his life, and he has authority orientation. He has authority orientation. Where does he get it? He gets it at home from his parents. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. And when they don't obey, they get disciplined. It has to be that way. If you don't discipline your children, then you bring them into the world undisciplined maniacs doing what they want to do. So we have to have authority orientation. That's gone today. They sneer at the police officer. They laugh at the police officer. They don't obey the police officer. They cheat on their tests. They cheat on one another. They lie to their parents. They lie to their friends. No authority orientation. And finally, a man, M-A-N, has nobility or virtue or honor. Great character is what God's looking for, and that's what makes a real, true man, nobility and virtue. But a male on the other side of the coin, a male, M-A-L-E, well, the M says he's minus any momentum in his life. He may have the body of a male, but he doesn't have the mind of a man. He doesn't have any momentum. He doesn't hear God's word. He doesn't keep God's word. So his frame of reference is totally cosmic thinking. He's anti-authority. He doesn't obey authority. He does what he wants to do when he wants to do it and gets away with it. And technically, M-A-L, L means he's a loser. A loser in life and a loser in eternity if he rejects Christ as his Savior. A loser in life can't handle responsibility. A loser in life can't handle routine. A loser in life can't handle unfair testing. And so their emotions take over and they go goofy on you. And they get into E, M-A-L-E. The Mayo gets into emotional override. He lets his emotions control him rather than his thinking. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, not these emotions. Emotions are bona fide and wonderful and a great appreciator of the soul, but they're never designed to dictate policy. And yet so many people today live by emotional revolt of the soul. They let their emotions dictate policy. You can see it on the interstate. You can see it on the highways. You can see the rage and the frustration and the loss of temper. It's all there, emotional override. So what does the Bible say about this sort of thinking, this cosmic system thinking, this human viewpoint thinking that we need a pill for loneliness, or we need to counsel our young boys and teach them to be real men? And oh my gosh, well, here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 10, 2 and 3. The heart of the wise, the person who wants wisdom, inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. That's kind of interesting. We have what's on the right and what's on the left, but there it is. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense, and they show everyone how stupid they are. Ecclesiastes 10, 2 and 3 in the NIV edition of the Bible. There you have it. They show everybody how stupid they are because they live by human viewpoint thinking. They have rejected the Word of God, the plan of God, the assets that God gave them. They stuck their nose up at it and rejected all of that and bought into some sort of cosmic system thinking. So I'd like to entitle this message, America 2019, the land of the foolish. Why do I say that? Well, because the change in values in this country, the change of the insight, the change of the future, we've changed. Everything that used to be evil is now sort of good, and everything that used to be good is now almost evil. If we continue on the course that we're headed in this country, we will have no future. So what is the solution to this problem? I mean, I can highlight the problem, but is there a solution? And the answer is yes. Ecclesiastes 9:11-12, one of the wisdom books of the Bible, and this is what Solomon wrote. He said, I've seen some things, something else under the sun. He said, I've learned that the race is not won by the swift, and the battle doesn't always belong to the strong, nor does food always come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. That's the thing you can count on. There are times of evil that are going to fall on you unexpectedly, and if you don't know how to handle it, you will be trapped. Trapped in loneliness, hopelessness, and despair. One of the things that happens to everybody is death. There's no way around it. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Some of you listening to me today are half dead. Some of you are three-quarters dead. Some of you may be eight-tenths dead. We're all getting there eventually, sooner or later. So no one gets out of it, and that was part of the wisdom of Solomon. So he notes here that all people share the same distribution of adversity and prosperity, and the same, eventually, ultimate fate. They will all eventually join the dead. So the question is, how do we handle what appears to be coming our way, since we have no idea of what we might be facing? My own pastor has been teaching something in conferences this year that I've attended that is really great. We have the example of the importance of wisdom and how even the wisdom of how even when the wisdom is life-saving, the giver of such wisdom will be forgotten. Wisdom is what we need. W-I-S-D-O-M, and the New Testament calls it Sophia. I'm going to show you why the wisdom is important. But here's the issue. Even the person full of wisdom, the person that knows the answers and the solutions to the troubles of life, will soon be forgotten. Because somebody else wants to take credit for it, someone else thinks they're smarter, or someone else appreciates the gift, but goes on down the my way highway as soon as the trouble's gone. This is not very good news for pastors who hope to be remembered for their teaching of biblical wisdom, because the wisdom that I'm speaking of is found in the Bible, something the majority of Americans have forsaken. So I'm going to read to you out of another book of wisdom, Job 28, verses 12 through verses 28. And here's what it says. Where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. We're talking about wisdom now. Wisdom. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for a vase of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. So where then does wisdom come from? And where does understanding dwell? It's hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed from the birds of the sky. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. But God understands the way to it, and He alone knows where wisdom dwells. For He views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when He made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, when He looked at wisdom and appraised it, He confirmed it and tested it. And He said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Verse 28. Proverbs 3:8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's human viewpoint thinking. Fear the Lord. respect him, and depart from evil, Satan's cosmic system. In the New Testament, Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:17, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be stupid, aphron, lack of knowledge, the inability to use knowledge wisely. It's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, the Bible says a little bit of knowledge puffeth up. The Greek word for knowledge is gnosis, but the Greek word for wisdom is sophia. There's a difference in the two. Knowledge is something you've heard and you've understood, but you haven't applied it. Wisdom is something you've heard, understood, believed, and applied. So, do not be foolish. Don't have a lack of understanding, Ephesians 5:17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The word foolish or moros denotes simple stupidity, but it's also ignorance and willful rebellion against God and His will. As an example, you can read Romans 1:18 through 32, where it talks about those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, professing themselves to have wisdom, they became fools because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Pick it up, open the Bible, read it. Romans 1:18 through 32. You'll see where a lot of our problems come from today. But God has given you and I the opportunity to understand His wisdom. It comes through the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. In Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here we go again. The fool is not interested. America is the land of the foolish. By and large, most Americans are not interested in what the Bible says about marriage, what the Bible says about family, what the Bible says about freedom, what the Bible says about internationalism. They're not interested. They're only interested in what they want. A good many. Now, there are some Americans that are interested in that, some really great Americans. But most just could care less about the Bible. They got one. It's a good luck charm. Some of them put it in the back window of their car, hoping they don't get hit. Some of them have it under the coffee table at home, but they don't ever read it. They don't go to church. They don't get instruction from God. Not at all. Will the America you and I know today, will it survive? If, in fact, it continues on the current path? Well, what kind of path? The path made by the decision of fools. One, most of our leaders reject the notion that God's wisdom is found in Christ. Most do that. Most leaders in Congress, House of Representatives, the Senate, government, don't want to know about that. They reject the idea that God's wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. In my own state, they threw the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, threw the Ten Commandments out of the Capitol. We can't have God's wisdom, they said. It's offensive to people. That shows how stupid and foolish we really are. We are so stupid that we actually think we're smarter than God. As a nation, we are so foolish that we actually think we don't need God's instructions, that we can handle it all on our own. And you can see we're doing a pretty good job of messing it up. We are a divided nation today. And this is what Satan is really good at, dividing and conquering. If we continue on the path we're on, there will not be a free America in the future. Most of our leaders reject the idea of God's wisdom concerning divine institutions like marriage. As an institution, God has given away to humanism and diversity. More of them, they're not interested in what the Bible says about marriage, a man and a woman being married. No, we've gone for humanism and diversity. The family as an authority structure is now denied. There's no discipline allowed. If you whip your child, you're going to call some sort of government agency to come in and take your children away from you. And our freedom is surrendered for some sort of temporary security. You want somebody to take care of them. They want somebody to take care of them. Many politicians today promise free college, free health care, free this and free that. And it's all a farce. Nationalism is rejected for internationalism, thinking that we need to be friends with the world and we need to group together and we all need to have the same currency. We need one guy to lead us all across the world. The Bible says eventually that's going to happen with the Antichrist, but not now. The words of Solomon ring out true today. I mean, it's just as true today as it was when he wrote it. Proverbs 1:22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? And how long will you mockers delight in mocking? And how long will fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, God said. And then I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, the Lord said here in this passage, then in turn I will laugh when disaster strikes you, and I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you, then they'll come calling to me, but I won't answer. Then they will look for me, but they won't find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Lord. That's wisdom. Since they would not accept my advice, they spurned my rebuke. Now they will eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever will listen to me will live safely and be at ease without fear or harm. Man, you talk about a critic of America today. This is us. We refuse to listen. We're not interested in listening. We're interested in doing it our way. We don't want to offend anybody. We want them to stay in the middle of the road, so to say. And we are filled with the fruit of our own schemes. Where our nation is being divided, our nation is falling apart, our young people are killing themselves, they're unhappy, they're lonely, they're miserable, they're empty. Is there anything you can do about it for the future of this nation? Yes, there is one thing you can do. Yes, you can be a man with wisdom, because sooner or later people are going to need it. You can be the one who has wisdom. Wisdom in the knowledge of Christ and the claims of Jesus Christ. Wisdom in the simplicity of faith alone in Christ alone, not trying to work for your salvation, not trying to earn it or buy it, but faith alone in Christ alone. That's wisdom. But you can't buy that wisdom, and you cannot inherit that wisdom. You have to acquire it for yourself before you can have any sort of impact in the world. So in Ecclesiastes 9:14-15, I encourage you to read it. There was one man with wisdom that delivered an entire city from a king. One man with wisdom. That's all God needs. One person with wisdom. One person with the Word of God in their soul. One person who thinks divine viewpoint. One person who's committed to the cause of Christ with objectivity. That's what God's looking for. Wisdom comes from knowledge. And when you have the knowledge of the Word of God, it produces insight and it produces discernment. Wisdom is acquired as a byproduct of personal love for God. If you love me, the Bible says you'll obey me and my mandates are not grievous. Obey me. If you love me, you will obey me and my mandates are not grievous. Well, what exactly am I supposed to obey? Well, I may need to come back, but Psalm 34:12-16, you can read it for yourself. Do you want to really live? Would you like to live a long, happy life? Then make sure you don't speak evil words or use deceptive speech. That's some wisdom. There's so much more to say about this, and dang, my time is gone. I hope you're interested. I hope you're listening. And I hope you'll come back next week, because I will continue this, and we'll press on in this study of America, the land of the foolish. Until then, it's your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Do American citizens that get up and go to work every day deserve their own special holiday? This is ControlTheGovernment.com. In 1884, we selected the first Monday of September as Labor Day, a holiday to honor American workers. And this tribute is well deserved. No other nation in history has achieved the wealth and success of the United States. American workers have contributed to our strength, prosperity, and overall blessings. No matter the